Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Why are we our own worst critics? Why are we so hard on ourselves and others? Why do we do that? I don't know. We're going to try to find that out. But, you know, I always used to tell this joke. A woman looks in a mirror and she notices everything, every little wrinkle, every little imperfection. And a man looks in a mirror and he sees another man on the other side waving hi. Hi. Hi there. No, that's just funny. And I do feel that women are harder on themselves, but I'm sure there are just as many men struggling with insecurities. So stay with me. We will be plowing through that and try to come up with some strategies to overcome our critical inner dialogues. We'll also be featuring the music of independent singer-songwriter Daniel Champagne. One reviewer recently wrote, "Daniel Champagne exudes natural ease on stage as he sings poignant lyrics and beautifully crafted melodies that invariably whisk the heart up and the grand romanticism." Wow, I love that. Coupled with an exhilarating guitar talent that transcends more acoustic playing to replicate a whole band, Champagne is just magical. I know you are going to love these musical breaks tonight. So if this is your first time tuning into Encouragementology, let me just take a moment and tell you a bit about me and why I'm so passionate about instilling hope. You might have thought that, you know, who is this girl every week and what is she up to and why should we care? Well, as you heard in the opener, I'm a certified life coach and addiction recovery coach and the founder of Encouragementology. It all started with a revelation for me, an awakening of sorts. I had a season in my life where keeping my head buried in work and that endless pursuit of my career goals just wasn't enough. I wanted more. I wanted to be involved in more. I wanted to make a bigger impact. Now, that may sound like you, just ready for more. I don't really remember searching for something, but I did feel enlightened. I've always been blessed with the power of positivity. I'm not really sure why. I mean, I've seen my share of struggles and dark times, but I've always been hopeful and able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't think everyone can see that, so for me, I wanted to use this gift to help others. So I started a women's outreach, focused on providing a positive alternative to some of life's challenges. For instance, getting back to work, gaining your independence, and seeking something better for phase two. You know phase two, right? Have you heard that before? What happens next? After the ellipses, what's next? I won't go off on a tangent. This is too early in the show to do that, but you're never too old or too far gone to rewrite your ending. So just remember that. Take another path. Start another blank. Fill in the blank. What would that be? Start another what? Phase two is what happens next. Now, during this work, I stumbled upon something pretty powerful. Encouragement. Encouragement is the seed to everything. You can't create goals or find motivation and resilience without encouragement. It takes a little bit of hope, someone in your corner, someone rooting for you to give you the goods you need to power through. Wow. I wanted more. And I wanted to give more. I wanted other people to know this same feeling. So I developed a practice called Here's Your Cue. It's a practical application to instill hope. Something catchy, easy to remember. Q stands for connect, understand, encourage. Here's your cue. Reach out to another human being, friend, family member, acquaintance, or even a stranger. Connecting face to face is so important. As amazing as the 21st century online world is, it cannot meet the human need for a hug or a handshake. They did an experiment at the University of Chicago and Harvard and found that negotiators who shook hands were more open and honest and reached better outcomes. Shaking hands causes the centers of the brain associated with rewards to light up. You are literally conveying warmth. Isn't that amazing? You have that power. Then listen and attempt to understand. Show empathy. You don't have to agree with where they are or what they're doing or even be well-versed on any subject, but you can be open to listening. And then encourage. You got this. I know things will turn around. I get a sense you're taking charge of the situation. I have faith that you can make it happen. Can you imagine doing that? Doesn't just hearing those words make you feel excited? I now spread this message as a movement to as many people as I can and let them know they can do something. They've had the power all along. I also put this practice to valuable use. I run two support groups for women. One is in Anna at Bethany Village, which is open to the public. All women are welcome. And the other one is for the inpatient women at Gateway Foundation Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Carbondale. I tell them my goal is to give them something to think about, a new perspective. And of course, I encourage them with hope. Our motto is to connect, share, learn, and grow. And it has been the most rewarding experience to date. So I say all this to say, number one, to tell you why I'm talking to you tonight and every week. And number two, to tell you that self-acceptance is a process. It's doubtful you'll wake up feeling self-assured and accepted tomorrow. You might first look for a little bit of encouragement, something to soften up the way you perceive yourself, a different point of view maybe. Hopefully, we can do some of that tonight. And if you do feel confident and self-assured in the morning when you wake up, connect with someone else. They could really use your encouragement. How do you view yourself? What concerns you the most? Think about that. We're going to ask ourselves some hard questions during this show. You know, we've got to find the root of the issue and what's preventing us from really accepting ourselves. Has there ever been a time you've been happy with yourself? That's a good one to think about. According to Wikipedia, self-acceptance is an individual's satisfaction or happiness with oneself. It involves self-understanding, a realistic awareness of one's strengths and weaknesses. So we are going to try to find all of that out. So you might want to grab a pen and some paper. There could be some homework. I love this poem. I found this poem actually online this week by Holly Holden. Today I asked my body what she needed, which is a big deal considering my journey of not really asking that much. I thought she might need water or protein or greens or yoga or supplements or movement. But as I stood in the shower, reflecting on her stretch marks, her roundness where I would like flatness, her softness where I would like firmness, all those conditioned wishes that form a bundle of never quite rightness, she whispered very gently, "Could you just love me like this?" Oh, if it were that easy. But be gentle with yourself. It's more about learning to love versus becoming a better version of you. I mean, if you did have a flat stomach, what then? Would there be another flaw that you would focus on? Is that the only thing standing in between you and happiness? My guess is no, because if it were, you would have found a way to get there. Just like we need to focus on the positive over the negative, we also need to focus on our strengths versus our weaknesses. So we're probably going to start with those. Strengths are harder to identify than weaknesses. But let's get started. We're going to start the process right now. Let's call them out. Let's write them down. Now, don't overthink this exercise. You don't need a list of 100 strengths or even 10. you're just getting started here. So try to list three. Just come up with three. Now, if you're only listing three, my guess is they're going to be pretty broad and overarching, and that's okay. The important thing here is that you recognize them and you listen to them. You write them down and you stare them right in the face. Later, you can add some details and some nuances to each of them. Now, this could be pretty unfamiliar for you. If you spend your time every day worrying and caring for everyone around you, you probably haven't taken the time to explore your own self. You could probably tell me, like, everything your kids excel in, or what your spouse or partner does well. Even make an extensive list of your best friend's attributes. But what about you? What about me? I've never really thought about me. Well, let's start right now. To give yourself a little push, try writing down everything you've already accomplished. There might be some things in there that you've forgotten. Sometimes it's easy to gloss over your successes and only focus on what you haven't done. So get it all out there so you can see it in black and white. You could also make a list of hardships you've already conquered. Don't forget about those. That takes real power. Like, did you stop smoking? Were you able to get a job when it seemed hopeless? Maybe you made amends with a family member. Did you survive a painful divorce? Or live through grief? It's important to take inventory of it all so that you can see the reasons to celebrate right in front of you. You might even look at that list and think, wow, I am tougher than I thought. I made a list recently. Matt and I made a list at the end of the year, all the things we accomplished, because so many times we get ahead of ourselves. We brainstorm about the future and we're always trying to get to a different part of our life. And sometimes we can forget what we've already done and how amazing that is and all the blessings that came from all the things we've already done. So we made it a tradition. We're going to do it every year on New Year's Eve. We're going to write down everything that we did. And then we'll write down what we want to do next year. It's a pretty impressive list, and something that we'll really want to capture and look back on. Even if you've never told anyone or you even feel weird saying it out loud, I want you to think of one thing, say it out loud, that you actually value about yourself. Is there something that sticks out? Look at your list, see if something pops out at you. Just like a house starts with a solid foundation, so does your self-acceptance. Ultimately, liking ourselves more or getting on better terms with ourselves is mostly to do with self-acceptance. And the only way we can stop judging ourselves is to secure a more positive sense of who we are. We're not going to know that until we write it down and really explore. We're talking about us tonight, not everybody else in your family, just you. Now, I'm going to give you some time to do that while you listen to some amazing music by our musical feature tonight. We are featuring Daniel Champagne. The story goes that the young Australian singer, songwriter, and one-of-a-kind guitar virtuoso first picked up his instrument of choice at the age of 5. Following in the footsteps of a musical father. He began writing songs at 12, training classically throughout his teens, and performing solo wherever he could, honing his craft and developing what would become the dynamic show that he's known for today. At age 18, he left school, turned professional, and hit the road. I know you are going to love this first song. It's called Supernova, and it's off his album, The Heartland Hurricanes.
She said, I'll call you if I come down. I wasn't waiting, I wasn't holding my breath. I was counting every star shooting at me by the roadside, where everybody throws their heart down like they're only just playing, like we don't know where this ends, or like the future is all already written in the night skies. So what if this love's like a supernova? It wouldn't even matter how close I hold you. We'd make it to the stars, and it all turns out we both burned out 1,000 years before now. Just like a supernova. Spend a whole life living in fear about the path we're on. I break the wheel trying to steer from where our hearts belong. I got lost and now I can't see where we started from. I think we crossed when I arrived, but you were walking out the door. Deja vu, cause I ain't been here before, no. Life like this, you can never be sure. Though what have we become? What if this is over? What if we're done? What if this love's like a supernova? It wouldn't even matter how close I hold you. Make it to the stars, and it all turns out we both burned out 1,000 years before now. And every dream that I tried to show you, all the tears you cried out on my shoulder, wouldn't matter when it all turns out we both burned out 1,000 years before now. Just like a supernova. Darling, how far can you see? What if this was all just make-believe? What if this was all in my dreams? What if this was never meant to be? What if this love's like a supernova? Wouldn't even matter how close I hold you. Make it to the stars, and it all turns out we both burned out 1,000 years before now. And every dream that I tried to show you, all the tears you cried out on my shoulder, wouldn't matter when it all turns out we both burned out 1,000 years before now. Just like a supernova.
Welcome back to Encouragementology. I hope you enjoyed that first musical break. We are featuring Daniel Champagne tonight, and that was Supernova. I hope you will look him up online and go get some of his music. Great stuff. Now, if you're just joining us, we are talking about self-acceptance embracing you. If you looked at the art that I put up, I guess it's considered art. It's Kindle Bitmoji for Encouragementology, but I put on there Team Awesome. Now, do you feel like Team Awesome for yourself? That might be a bit of a stretch, so that's okay if you're not feeling that. If you're tuning in, you're probably tuning in because you want to learn a little bit more about self-acceptance, not because you're overly confident and already possess it. If you are, please send us a message. I would love to share some of your ideas throughout the show. So before, we talked a little bit about just starting to come up with those ideas, writing those things down, getting them in black and white so you can actually see some of your strengths. You know, you may have to search deep. You may not be very easy to recall your strengths. Have you ever been asked that? Like, what are you good at? Sometimes that's the most, the hardest question on a job interview. What are you good at? Give me some of your strengths. Oh, my goodness. You might have a Jan Brady moment, right? Where you're not really sure what to say there. But let's practice that. Let's get some of that stuff out there so that we can really take a look at it, dig a little deeper. Barbara Shear is a career coach, and I stumbled upon one of her articles where she offers an interesting idea. She suggests creating a life scenario to help you identify your strengths and possibly your passion and your purpose. Imagine that. For this exercise, you need a trusted and patient friend because it's a bit of serve in return. So you want somebody that you really trust, somebody that's going to give you some honest feedback, but someone that's open and able to dream with you. Okay. Do you have one of those people in mind? You do? Okay. Let's go with that. So number one, you're going to ask your friend to name three of your strengths. Okay. Three of your strengths. Now, tell your friend your top passion. Then have your friend tell an imaginary story of your life based on this passion and your strengths. Okay, for instance, you're organized, creative, and friendly, and your passion is baking. So you run a bakery where customers can buy cupcakes with little icing portraits of themselves. Take a minute to imagine this fantasy as real life. Now, tell your friend what appeals to you. Okay, making cupcakes with artistic frosting would be awesome. Okay, and what makes you cringe? I'd never start my own business. The thought of bookkeeping gives me hives. Now, your friend can revise the story based on your feedback. Okay. You organize monthly bake sales at the local Boys and Girls Club. Kids buy the cupcakes and paint their own portraits. Pretty cool. Keep going back and forth until that story feels right. This may take three or even 13 rounds. There's no need to rush. Your friend will likely suggest unexpected scenarios, but don't let knee-jerk objections like, oh, that would cost too much, or when would I have time to do that, shape your feedback. This is about crafting a scenario tailored to your strengths. And then the last step is stop when the story feels completely satisfying. You've just shaped your passion into a goal and defined what you do, what you want to do, and what you don't want to do with your calling. It's pretty cool, huh? It could be a fun exercise. Do you remember those little paper things? They almost look like little fortune cookies. I can't remember what they were called, but we used to do them in school, and you would write like who you were going to marry, where you were going to live, what your house was going to look like, and then you would go back and forth. There was that game, and then there was another one where you would write those down, and you would do them and pick out different numbers, and it would create this whole life. Wasn't that fun? That's something similar, but this is really more shaped about your inner desires, your inner passions, but you can have as much fun with it. So sky's the limit. Now, equally important is knowing your weaknesses. If you don't look for them, identify them, and then quantify them, how will you ever grow? You know, the alternative is staying stuck in a coulda, shoulda, woulda. Weaknesses are just a weak spot with potential to grow and help you strengthen your core. As you take a deep dive here, you may see that some of your perceived weaknesses can just be chalked up to limiting beliefs. I talk about limiting beliefs a lot, but these are beliefs that you actually believe about yourself because you picked them up at an early age and you carry them around your whole life. If you don't test them, then how will you ever know if they're true? You'll stay limited by their perceived truth. For example, you might have been told you can't sing because of one incident in your past while you were still developing. Because of that, you steer clear of any opportunity to use your voice. But what if, as you've matured, so have your vocal cords, and with a little practice and maybe even a little training, you could have a wonderful singing voice? Maybe. Or maybe not. But if you limit yourself because you believe it's a weakness, then how will you ever know? Really think about that. Go back over all the things you say are weaknesses and challenge your abilities. You might see that your list will get shorter and shorter as you move them over to strengths. When you do have a final list, take a good look at it. What is something you should have improved, but you just never got around to it? What is something you would like to work on? And what is just the way you were wired? Can you forgive yourself and get to work on what you can control? Great. We are making progress here. You know, I was heading home the other day, and this is going to sound funny, but I'm getting it out there. I told you to get it out there. I'm going to get it out there, too. I was coming home, and Whitney Houston was on. Now, I have always wanted to sing. I really do not have a singing voice, and that is not a limited belief. I seriously don't. And I've often prayed for just this miracle to happen, and all of a sudden I have these powerful pipes and I can sing anything. And I was driving home, thank goodness, by myself, and Whitney Houston came on. And I started singing kind of quietly, but I knew the song, so I was singing along. And it might have been me, but I really thought I sounded pretty good. And I was surprised and taken back. And I thought, wow, maybe my dream and my prayer has been answered. And so I started singing a little bit louder. And before you know it, I was belting it out again. So thankful I was by myself. Now, it could have been just a really good day and wishful thinking, but I may try it again sometime because I think I was doing much better. So do we still have some work to do? Like I said, this does not happen overnight. You may feel like you have nothing to celebrate and so far to go. Are you saying to yourself, no love for you yet, you aren't good enough? You have to try harder, work harder, and then the payoff is self-acceptance. I mean, it's okay to push yourself to learn more, be healthier, love harder, etc. But at some point, we have to be happy with who we are. We have to learn to love ourselves even during the process. If you're doing it right, the process will take the rest of your life. So don't starve yourself and neglect yourself while you're waiting for that end result. Releasing shame and guilt is a necessary self-acceptance step. So you could say a critical step is actually self-forgiveness. This is obviously easier said than done in many situations. I'm not trying to overgeneralize here. You know, we could be talking about all types of situations that could lead to shame and guilt. But in every situation, the common thread is it's in the past. And for that, we have no solution but to learn and to move on. Letting go is incredibly difficult. No matter if we cling to worries about the future or if we keep replaying the mistakes of the past again and again in our mind, the desperate attempt to hold on to these things that are familiar will only limit us, limit our capability, prevent us from experiencing happiness and joy in the present moment. Life is all about continuous change. So no matter how hard we try to keep things as they are, we'll sooner or later be confronted with relentless changes, whether we like it or not. I found a quote by C. Joy Bell C. Believe it or not, that's what it is. C. Joy Bell C. I love this quote. She's actually the most quoted author on Goodreads. It says, "We can't be afraid of change. You may feel very secure in the pond that you're in, but if you never venture out of it, you will never know that there is such a thing as an ocean, a sea. Holding on to something that is good for you now may be the very reason why you don't have something better." Wow. Really think about that. I mean, really think about that. Holding on to something that is good for you now may be the very reason you don't have something better. Another well-quoted woman is Mel Robbins. She's a life coach and international superstar. If you have not seen her all over the internet, you must not be on there because she's everywhere. But she says, the more you practice self-acceptance, the more you'll realize the only person you ever needed is you. Do you get your value from other people? She said I'm fat. He said I'm too emotional. They think I'm lazy. Where's your negativity coming from? Are you listening to it? Most importantly, are you believing it? Maybe you aren't your own worst critic. Maybe you surround yourself with critics. Stop trying to live up to someone else's image of you. You will never, ever meet their expectation. Imagine running a race with no finish line. Ugh, you just keep running. You're exhausted, out of steam, and you have no reason to stop. I found this on a blog titled, "This is why silencing criticism will make you powerful." And since I absolutely love analogies, it's the way I talk. Some people talk with their hands. I talk with analogies all the time. I thought I would share this with you. Self-confidence is like the wind. Its friendly push can help us reach cruising altitudes in our life. But when we fly against it, unfavorable winds slow us down. That's what happens when we criticize others. Something to think about there. So whether you're being criticized or you're spending your precious energy criticizing others, the results leads nowhere. You're either being held back by what other people say that you believe, or you're putting off moving forward while you hold someone else back. Both lead nowhere. Criticism leads nowhere. The road towards self-development has no room for shortcuts. It's a lifetime journey that requires daily practice. It's a bumpy road, and like most difficult roads, it can lead to beautiful destinations if you keep moving forward. Okay, I want you to think about that. Keep moving forward. So we are going to take another musical break. We are featuring singer-songwriter Daniel Champagne. The next several years saw him traversing North America, the United Kingdom, Europe, New Zealand, and of course his homeland, Australia, playing festivals and sharing the stage with some of the best. As one reviewer recently wrote, still in his early 20s, the distance he has been would be more frequently associated with veterans of the folk scene. Daniel has accomplished all of this while writing, producing, and independently releasing his music. So we are going to listen to the next song, which is Heart Like This. And this is from The Gypsy Moon, Volume 1.
Guess the morning's good for leave. Guess I'll try to tell you why. Guess we lost ourselves, believe that we could chase the sky. We could chase the sky. See the shadows dance before us. Feel this love melt just like snow. To hear the ravens fly, call out the air. They've got me waiting on the breeze like it's my only friend. And it goes like this, if we never let it fall. You said the morning's good for leaving.
So welcome back to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for sticking with me. We are getting deep with ourselves tonight. We're learning a little bit about ourselves. And in order to accept ourselves and embrace ourselves, we have to learn more, right? We just talked about before the break, the last thing we talked about was criticizing. Criticizing ourselves, letting others criticize us, and criticizing others. Okay? And just the negativity that all encompasses. So we're moving forward. We want some of those beautiful destinations. So we're going to keep moving forward. We want to surround ourselves with people, good, positive people, people who see you and want to connect with the real you. In order to find those people, you first have to become the real you, not the person you portray to fit in and be accepted, but your authentic, true self. Does that sound familiar? Have you heard that before? Are you one way at work and then another way at church and then even another way at home? Many of us like to keep the peace. So we morph into whatever gets us down the path of least resistance. Or we feel like we've always been taken advantage of. So we create this hard outer shell that can't be penetrated by good or bad. What have you become to get by? I'm much harder and more direct in a work environment than I am in a social situation. I'm not sure if it stems from being confident in what I do more than fitting into different social circles. I tend to be much more agreeable in a social situation. I like everyone to just get along and feel comfortable, so I make it a point not to create waves. But in business, I'm the opposite. I'll push for what I believe in and I'll vocalize my opinions. I'm not sure if I'm the only person. I'm sure I'm not. I'm sure there's many people that feel that way. How can we bring those two people into focus, a better balance? I love to please people and I'm very nurturing, but at some point I need to be assertive and speak my mind. Does that sound like you? It's important to get to know you. Who are you? You may have to peel back the layers and start at the beginning. What were you like as a child? What were some of your interests? Remember a time when you felt really good. This could have been an accomplishment or an event, a time, a place. It could have been a reflection from another person, like a parent or a grandparent. Maybe it was feedback from a friend, a time when you were there for that person. Let's go a little deeper. What do you value? What's important to you? As much as you think about what you value, think about your triggers, your hot buttons. What is a pet peeve? And what is a definite no in your book? It's good to reconnect with your own thoughts on certain subjects. It's so easy to get persuaded over the years to feel one way or another, but unless you question your own true feelings, you'll never know what's inherent and what is programmed. You have to get to know yourself before you can truly accept and love yourself. So here are five things that I came up with that you can do to sort of build a bond with yourself, develop trust, start loving you. So number one, be willing to accept. It's finally time to get to the root of your feelings. These are feelings you've been carrying around. Everyone says just get over it, but first you need to understand it, accept responsibility, and then make peace, right? Eckhart Tolle says, the primary cause of unhappiness is never the situation, but your thoughts about it. Isn't that so true? We are the ones keeping it alive, giving it energy. What happens if we finally let it go, put it to rest? Does it change what happened? No, but it will give us the permission to move on. Be willing to accept something new. Replace the negative with positive. Change your perception. If you want to let go of anxiety and self-doubt, embrace peace and confidence. If you want to let go of past relationships, be open to new loving relationships. If you want to let go of lazy, dull version of yourself, reinvent an active and energetic version of you. Number two, be willing to learn. You are never too old or too set in your ways to see a new perspective. Limiting beliefs may have you trapped, believing something you've always heard but isn't true. Are you afraid to believe the good and embrace your strengths? Really think about that. Are you afraid of that? Do you secretly retreat and hide behind your perceived weaknesses? I'm too old, too dumb, too scared. But what if you aren't? I love this meme that's floated around for years. It says, what if I fall? Oh, darling, but what if you fly? Step outside of yourself and embrace something new. You'll learn so much and so much more about yourself. You might actually be surprised with your own strengths and desires and this newfound freedom. Number three, be willing to listen. When you open your heart and mind and seek a new understanding about yourself, you need to find patience and listen for an answer. Not an answer for someone else. You've spent too long listening to what other people think and feel about you. Shut out the noise. Get still with yourself and just listen. Isn't it hard to be patient and really listen? We think we know it all. We want everything now, so we're always in a rush. Then, when it doesn't turn out right, we blame everyone in the universe. Remember, you are evolving and learning, and that takes time. You're also getting to know yourself, and that definitely takes time. So do some research, meditate, pray, spend some time doing some self-reflection, and then listen and see what feels right. Number four, be willing to move. Move out of your comfort zone, where being down on yourself is common practice. Take a compliment and give yourself many. Start your day with self-praise and a big smile. Are you really that comfortable there, not accepting yourself, not feeling good in your own skin? No, I know you're not. Then why are you fighting so hard to stay there? Doesn't doing the same thing over and over but expecting a different result equal insanity? I know I didn't make that up. Maybe it's time for a change. Try something else on. Someone says you would look cute with short hair. Cut it. Salsa dancing looks kind of fun. Go for it. Tired of your negative friends? Detach. Stop saying you're going to do something about it someday and make that day today. Move over and let the new you emerge. Get out of your own way. And number 5, be willing to grow. As you start loving and accepting yourself, your confidence will grow. Be open to new relationships, friendships, opportunities, and find a reason to share this new love with others. Always be aware of your journey. A part of growing is taking our past and using it for our future. It might have been hard as a lesson, but something you can now use to influence and inspire someone else. We worked through it. We took responsibility and we learned something valuable. Paying it forward can be as simple as sharing your experience, your knowledge with someone else. You can do this one-on-one with a friend, which is awesome. In a group, writing about it or speaking about it. When given the opportunity, share and share from your heart. We should constantly strive to grow, challenge our old assumptions, and find bold new opportunities that open our minds and bring joy to our hearts. That's really what it's all about, right? We're going to take our last musical break. We have been featuring Daniel Champagne from Australia. His latest full-length release, Fault Lines, is available now, and his new project, Satellite City, is comprised of 3 singles, Satellite City, Indigo, and The Great Divide, all out now. A review of his two Gypsy Boone releases said the following: Champagne has gone a step further this time. It's like he's realized his own potential. His confidence is sky high, and he's truly ready to explore. Australia's roots... music, Bible Rhythms magazine said that, sorry. Now regarded as a leading light in acoustic music, with a firm reputation for making festivals buzz, holding crowds in his palm, dropping jaws, and breaking guitars wherever he goes, Daniel Champagne has relocated to North America, where he continues his exciting career as an international touring and recording artist. And guess what? He is playing at a house concert for Matt and I on February 23rd. So excited about that. We are going to be hosting him here in Southern Illinois. So this last song we are going to be listening to is on his album Fault Lines, just mentioned, and it's called Rearview Love.
She don't meet here with the headlights fading. Held me like a loaded gun. Sent me under the tide and stood waving. Let me sink the setting sun. So I started running out of things to believe in. Like love was nothing but a runaway train. She said that I was born for leaving. So maybe we're both the same. Cause now she's driving back to Carolina. She's gonna leave the world behind her. Gonna run from everybody else. She's driving back to Carolina. No one could ever find her until she finds herself. I stood and watched the last taillights like she'd done a couple times before. I guess you never really know what it feels like till you're the one that really wanted more. And I guess that we all got our own set of needs.
trying to run from the life that we had. She said that I was born for leaving, so maybe we're both as bad. Cause now she's driving back to Carolina. She's gonna leave the world behind her. She's gonna run from everybody else. Carolina, no one could ever find her until she finds herself. So I said, just keep driving, just keep driving. Both know that leaving's easier than believing will work this time. So just keep driving, darling. I just keep driving, just keep driving. Both better at running than whatever we're coming, so pay no mind and just keep driving. Every time I look in the mirror, oh, I see is you. Oh, I feel is us. All we ever knew was with you. To Carolina, and I just about lost my mind for her. Oh, starving back to Carolina. She's gonna leave the world behind her. She's gonna run from everybody else now. Starving back to Carolina. Finds her until she finds herself. Until she finds herself.
Welcome back to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for staying with me tonight. We have had a great time. Hopefully it's been a little enlightening as you start thinking about your strengths and your weaknesses. This is the time where I like to recap our show so we can think about everything that we might want to work on. You know, we started talking about being our own worst critic. We also talked about criticizing other people and how that's not really healthy for either person. We talked about the power of connecting and encouraging. I don't want to skip over that part. I told you a little bit about encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope, and just the power of connection and what that does for the other person, but most importantly, what that does for us. We need each other. We thrive off of each other. So much technology in the world today keeps us separated. We're in our own little silos, and we're not wired that way. We're wired to communicate and commune with other people. So you can start that practice by, here's your cue: connect, understand, and encourage. We also talked about really unleashing our power. You know, what does self-acceptance mean to us? What does it mean? How can we dig deep and find our true power? How can we learn to love ourselves just as we are? Now, I'm all about evolving. We're evolving and we're growing and we're learning new things. But at every step, we need to love ourselves. We need to be happy with where we are. If you're always waiting for something else, oh, if I could just get there, I'd be happy. If I could just do that, I'd be happy. You're never going to get there. You're never going to be happy, because once you reach that part, there's something else. So take that moment. It's great to lay out your goals, and I'm all about goal setting, and really think about those. But at every step of the way, be thankful. Find gratitude in where you are and who you are and who you're becoming. You know, pat yourself on the back. If you're sitting out there tonight and you're thinking, you've taken some notes and you're thinking of all the ways that you would like to better yourself or you would like to grow, start thinking about the things that you've already done and give yourself a pat on the back. Celebrate your success. That goes a long way. We also talked about knowing our strengths and our weaknesses. If you don't know your weaknesses, you can't ever change them. If you're oblivious to where you fall short, you'll stay stuck where you are. It's about knowing your strengths and your weaknesses. And give your strengths as much attention. You know, start thinking about the things that you have done right. What have you conquered? Even if it's tiny, what have you conquered? We also talked about letting go and forgiving ourselves. You know, understanding this is a journey. This is a lifelong journey, and that's okay. That's important. It wouldn't be fun if it wasn't something always evolving, would it? You know, we talked about being authentic. You might have never thought about it quite that way. You know, it's a different perspective. Have you been acting or morphing into what other people expect from you? What about what you expect from you? How can you be that person? Start peeling back those layers. Uncover the true you. This might be a whole new person. Get in touch with where you started, how you were as a child. What made you laugh? What gave you excitement? Start tapping back into that person. Life can dump a whole bunch of stuff on us. You know, really shake us up. Start remembering when everything was new and fresh. You thought you could conquer the world. What did that person want? We also talked about 5 things that you are willing to do to build a bond with yourself. 5 things. Those were willing to accept, willing to learn, willing to listen, willing to move, and willing to grow. Are you ready for that? I challenge you to use this momentum to start building on your self-acceptance foundation by uncovering another characteristic you value about yourself. Remember, we wrote down 3. Find another one. Be your own number one fan and start your day with a positive pep talk. When self-doubt or negativity creep in, say, "No, not today. Today I'm accepting myself just as I am. I know you can do it." Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Someone threw until the path was clear.